Elsa.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good morning, man.
Good morning to you, too, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And, you know, it's morning time. We were just talking about how it's hard to find coffee in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Like, they don't, you know, a lot of hotels.
Well, on the Strip, specifically.
Well, on the Strip. Yeah. No, that's right. That's right. So, we're staying on the Strip. And all these, you know, all this stuff is overpriced here. Let's just be honest about it. And so what they do, you know, you get used to going to like a Hampton Inn or a Holiday Inn Express.
Sure,
and
yeah.
They have the little crummy coffee maker in the room. And then down in the lobby, they just have coffee. They're just giving
just,
out.
It's all over the place. It's just
free. A hospitality thing. They're
it
like,
flows
look,
like water.
You're spending money with us. What the least we can do is give you a cup of coffee,
that's
even
right.
if it's not a good cup of coffee. And in Vegas, they just... They don't care about that or you.
we're going to get you money. We're going to get it this way. We're going to
so
get it that way. We're going to
no,
get you money.
There's no coffee pot in the room. There's no, you know, this room doesn't have any microwave. So even
no.
if we got cold coffee and wanted to nuke it, which is disgusting, we couldn't even do that.
No. Yeah.
So they force you to go to one of their coffee shops on the bottom floor. But all the coffee shops have lines that are wrapped around the building.
This is true.
I feel like half of the... challenge of at least half of the challenge of Las Vegas is figuring out where you're going to eat within a reasonable time period
right.
and where to get coffee.
right, right.
Like
right.
those two things, like where can I eat and where can I get coffee? And then related to the coffee thing is like, is there a place I can refill my bottle of water?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got it. It's a mess. It's just really crazy.
I got to tell you, and I'm kind of, I feel so weird about this because that we're, as you and I are sitting down, we're recording on a Sunday, right?
Yeah, no, that's
and
right. I was just listening to my priest's sermon a few minutes ago, actually. Sorry to interrupt.
No,
it's
ahead,
just so funny because I had this like strange moment. I'm sitting at a slot machine smoking my pipe. Okay, like I'm literally right. sitting at a slot machine smoking my pipe because
right.
I want, not because I was playing the slot machine, although that would have been fine, but I wanted to smoke my pipe, and you can smoke on the casino floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had my headphones in listening to, you know, this morning's homily and smoking my pipe, and I'm sitting here in front of like, you know, three jacks slots or whatever. I'm just like, what on what universe am I living in?
right exactly.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Well, what I was gonna say is that, you know, on Sunday, like we're here, we've got a pretty packed day. You know, you and I, we've got some shows we're gonna
yeah.
be recording.
That's
we're
exciting.
Hoping to see some folks and do some things later on this afternoon. But the thing that kind of like tears me up about it is we are right now across the street from the Bellagio, and the Bellagio,
oh, yeah,
man, on their Sunday buffet is fan-freaking-tastic.
And we are not there.
Unlimited mimosas. They've got, like, everything. They've got, you know, Eggs Benedict. They've got lamb. They've got, like, all kinds of, like, foods and lox and bagels and
oh, my God.
It's delicious. It's fantastic.
Oh,
and, I mean, like,
God.
You think about, like, casino buffets, and it's a little bit of a grab bag. Some,
right.
some are great. Some are... Some, this one on this day is fantastic. It's the reason to come to Vegas. But we ain't getting it today.
No, so, no, yeah. I'm sitting here looking at you. By the way, Bo is wearing his Houston Astros shirt.
Right.
And, you know, proud of, you know,
yeah, Houstonian.
Resident of Houston.
That's right.
Now and has been for several years. But
I'm a Mississippian in Houston is kind of how
no,
I
No, well, that's fine. I'm a Houstonian in Mississippi.
There you go. There yeah. you go. Works.
But anyway, it's funny right now as we're recording, and this episode is going to come out weeks after this, but they're the Major League Baseball playoffs are happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Astros, I think, are playing the I don't keep up with baseball like I should, but the Astros are playing the Yankees, I believe.
Oh.
And
so
we're
dominating the Yankees.
Dominating,
well. Yeah, yeah,
right? Because as it should be, all is right in the world. And actually, I have no idea.
Right.
The,
I mean, we have not seen the score.
Bo and I have no clue. But anyway, there is so much Houston Astros gear
all over the place
in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a few Phillies caps. I've seen, that's it.
That's it.
And then there's yeah. Astros people everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like, did half of Houston empty into Las Vegas to watch the series? Like, I just, it's crazy to me. So everywhere we turn, it's like, oh, more Astros people.
Yeah,
it's
no, like we're out here, man.
Oh, it's great. So it's kind of cool. I need to get some gear myself.
I know. Well, this is actually my least favorite of my Astros. I actually have multiple Astros shirts.
Well, as you should.
Well, I mean, if you need clothes in Houston, like you're likely to get an Astros shirt.
It's like,
shirt.
You know, they got Astros shirt at the gas station. Anyway.
Exactly. But anyways, I'm rocking it because I know what's going to get all smoky today.
We're
doing it.
That's good.
Man, we've got, you know, obviously we're here. We've been enjoying our time in Las Vegas, but I'm about to enjoy this time with you because we are going to do the work that God put us on this podcast to do, and that is talk tobacco.
Praise the Lord and go dog.
There you go. Well, I don't know about that last part, but yeah, but we're going to be talking some pipe tobacco, man. So Tobacco Talk is purely that, a chance to review various tobaccos. And, you know, the classic tobacco talks were about finding a pipe tobacco from the Squire and a tin tobacco and kind of reviewing both. And man, from what I understand, we're going back to our roots today.
We're going back to our roots, man. I thought we'd do one of each. You know, it's funny, in the early part of the show, when we would do a tobacco talk, we often would do tobacco talks of just our own house blends, and that's it. And then eventually we weaved in some brand name tobacco from other sources.
Yeah.
Tin tobaccos, typically. We review tobaccos from other brick and mortar shops as well. We've done some stuff from, I think, LJ Peretti and maybe some others. I know that one in particular. But, you know, for a long time, a lot of what we would do is just tin tobacco. And the reason for that is, as our business has grown and changed and my life has grown and changed, I've kind of gotten out of the kitchen a little bit.
That's right. You've trained.
And that is
you brought in new people and you kind of trained them up.
I have now.
Yeah.
I have now. We went through a season. We had Caleb Crawford working for us for a long time.
Caleb the intern, of course.
You know, and Caleb did such a good job at blending tobaccos, and we got him trained up, and he's really familiar with varietals and how they work together and all those things. He made some hits, man. I mean, just some real, real hits. King's Foil, Northwest Trek, Shepherd's Pie. I mean, Caleb...
Shepherd's Pie, of course, that's a big...
When people think about, oh, hey, I can't get Throgmorton anymore, what do I smoke? Yeah. And they order Shepherd's Pie.
That's
we
right.
sell pounds and pounds
of it. Caleb the intern.
Caleb the intern,
that's amazing,
now has two kids of his own. But anyway... As our business has changed, I just haven't blended as much pipe tobacco as I used to. And so, you know, well, a year ago, everyone is familiar, we brought Quinn on board.
Quentin, the Quintern, yes.
Quintessential Quintern. And
who I have been mistaken for several times on this trip. I'm not mad about it.
Actually, that's kind of an honor because, I mean, Quinn's kind of a stud. Yeah, I mean, that's great.
What are you saying? What do you say? That is an honor to Quentin that people think that
Quentin
that he looks like me.
Well, but that the thing is, I guess
I the stud am that the folks.
Maybe if they saw him, they'd be like, "Bo, it's so nice to meet you."
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually never. I don't even think I've met Quentin.
Haven't in person.
I mean, obviously we've
all interacted
a
lot. Yeah, you know, Quinn is as this show will come out has been with us probably a year and a half now, and has really developed a keen sense of how tobaccos work together, and is on that same path that Caleb had taken, and so. As Quinn has come back, come online as a blender, as a real tobacco blender, and is a true tobacconist now, it's cool. It's really, and also our business has freed me up to have just a little bandwidth to start experimenting again with tobaccos. It's like I finally have time to stick my toe in the water again of blending new pipe tobaccos.
Oh, man, that's
and
great.
It's been a long time, and it's really precious and just this coveted season that we're in where we get to do that. So
see, this is what it is.
It's really cool, man.
People always heretically refer to you as Tobacco Jesus. And what they don't understand...
It's so heretical.
It's so bad. It's so bad. And unfortunately, like, to our fault...
Don't do that to Jesus.
We've mildly encouraged it from time to time. Or at least we I don't know if we've encouraged it, but we've certainly not shut it down. But here's the situation. What is accurate, what is far more accurate, is you are more of Tobacco Obi-Wan Kenobi at this point. Because you have trained up these young Padawans to become the tobacco Jedi of this new era. And at some point, one will rise up turn against you, and you will have to face them.
Quinn, is it you?
Well, I was thinking, Caleb's got the, he's got two kids now. Anakin had two kids. So maybe, you know, Caleb will come back and then you have to face him down. And then one day you have to like train up one of his
kids.
Should
I check their all their midichlorians or whatever?
No, it was, all right, you ruined it.
Let's leave that out.
Let's leave it out. What are we talking about tobacco?
No, it's exciting though, because Quinn has gotten into the kitchen. He's come up with a tobacco that we're going to talk about. I'm going to save it actually for second.
Okay. All right.
I want to talk about the tobacco that he's blended, but I'm proud of Quinn, and I'm honored that, you know, he works for me, and his enthusiasm has really inspired me and also given me the ability to get back into that game. And so it's been a lot of fun. But anyway, tobacco talk today. So we're going to talk about Attend tobacco, and then we're going to pivot to one of our own that Quinn just released himself and encourage you guys to try. So today, our Attend tobacco that we are going to try is one that is a little hard to get, but is on the market. You can find it. You might have to hunt for it a little bit. Your big two or three pipe tobacco retailers online, just because they're kind of the first stop for a lot of people when they're looking for pipe tobaccos,
sure,
they're probably going to be out of this tobacco on average.
Interesting.
But, and I'm not going to name their names because they're direct competitors and you should always buy from the Country Squire. But having said that, you will be able to find it if you kind of dig around at some of the smaller tobacconists or smaller website. And today we're talking about a tobacco that's made by Dan Tobacco in Germany, and it's Former's Private Flake. Former's Private Flake.
Now, I'm sorry, Private Flake?
Private Flake. So this is Hans Former Nielsen, cool, is a very celebrated pipe carver. And, you know, if you've got an extra, and I'm, when I say very celebrated, you know, some people, you know, if you're not into the real pipe collecting artisan pipe carver world, you may not be familiar with Former Nielsen. But if you are in that world, you know that, hey, to get a Nielsen, a Former, you know, you're probably going to have to, you know, squirrel away, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, right? I mean, he's one of these kind of caliber pipe makers that, yeah, has just been venerated. He's been carving pipes since the 50s, and I mean, he's just that guy, right? He's right kind of up in that upper echelon of pipe carvers of all history, and so highly well respected. So, you know, my understanding is years ago he worked with, I believe it is Dan Tobacco, to develop a kind of a series of blends. Most of these are named after pipe related things like Bird's Eye or Straight Grain or this kind of stuff.
Yeah. But
he's got a couple that just have simple names, and this one is called the Private Flake. And this is a really, really good tobacco. I was eager to try this. We get all this random tobacco like this in the shop, but I don't always get to get around to it because there's just so many things to smoke and we're working on different stuff. But finally was able to try this Private Flake after looking at it for years and was excited to share it with you guys.
Yeah.
So it comes in a vacuum sealed tin, as you can see, and you know, you open it up, and the front. Matter of fact, Bo, you want to kind of describe,
yeah,
what you're seeing here?
Yeah, so you know, obviously,
a lot better at that than I am. Sometimes.
Got the old kind of the golden golden metal shine, but then you've got the label on it. We have, and I'm guessing that's the man himself.
I'm assuming that I've never laid eyes on Former Nielsen, so I'm assuming that is him.
All right, so
I don't know who else they would put on a name on a tobacco no, that has right, his name on it. So
all right,
it's not Santa Claus. So.
No, definitely not Santa Claus. But he's sitting here. He's smoking a pipe that he's got kind of clenched in his mouth. He's got a pretty righteous beard. Nothing too insane, but definitely rocking that beard. And the look. It's a profile view of his face, as he is staring very intensely, very like with purpose and with kind of a critical eye at a pipe, another pipe that he is holding up.
So he's smoking one.
He's smoking one.
And he's studying one.
And he's studying one. That's exactly right. He's holding it up and he's and it looks to be, I mean, if, you know, I might be projecting here, but it looks like he's really trying to analyze the grain, because we're looking at a pipe that is very polished. It would look to be finished at this point. And it's almost like you can kind of imagine like a jeweler who picks up a diamond,
yeah,
and is kind,
yeah,
of looking for flaws or looking for clarity.
Interesting.
That seems to be what he's doing in this. It's on a background of what appears to be some sort of like, you know, kind of red leather or something of that matter.
Right,
like,
right.
Could be wood behind him. And this image is kind of right smack in the middle of, you know, kind of surrounded by their branding. So yep. Pipe smoking tobacco, of course, Formers, handmade in Germany, Private Flake, 50 grams. If I may.
Yeah, sure.
If I may, you know, because I always kind of, you know, look at kind of the way in which this is presented.
That's a part of we've said over and over on the show how that's part of the experience.
Absolutely. The image itself is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it tells a story. Right. And like immediately. But the problem my critique of this is that the image is kind of so small. It's a rectangle in a half circle.
Right.
And so I think if I was kind of
re-envisioning
to consult with this, use this same imagery, but fill up.
Make it the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And let the text kind of rest above it. Maybe even clean up the text a little bit so that the image really does kind of communicate what it is. But yeah. I think that imagery is so powerful. It's unfortunate that it's so small within the brain.
When I look at that, because it's the picture, assumingly, of the carver who is studying, I guess, his own work. And you're thinking like, okay, this is a man that's looking for perfection. I mean, this is someone that is, he makes $3,000 pipes.
Right.
Like this is a guy that like, he's studying this to look for perfection. This is a discriminating person who is looking for quality, right? And so when you pick that up, and then the name of this tobacco is Former's Private Flake, what that's communicating is that, oh, this is his choice,
right?
This is his, like, oh, this is what he smokes.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if you come at it from that view, then you're like, oh, well, this what I'm about to experience is a true luxury product.
Premium.
You know,
premium
of
premium.
This is a premium product. This is a high end, top shelf thing that it's not just because you're paying a lot for it. It's because this is discriminating.
That's
you know?
Right.
And so I like that it communicates that, but I'm with you. I think it could be done maybe a little better. So anyway, you open it up. There's a really pretty kind of paper cover on the top of this. It just says, it's got a, what do you call that thing? Where east, west, north, compass?
Oh, you're talking about compass. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, you know, and so it's got this, there's another name for it. Anyway, it's got the, you know, there's a fleur-de-lis and it's just very ornamental and a selection of the world's finest tobaccos hand blended for your smoking pleasure. Very elegant. And then of course you open up the Elizabethan collar and find this delicious, delicious aromatic flake. So this is an aromatic flake. It's kind of interesting. Of course you're listening right now, as you know, if you've listened to us for a while, you're listening to a Virginia fan. And the, you know, Virginia folks like clean, pure flavors with lots of nuance and character. Boldness kind of comes second after chasing those nuanced, sophisticated flavors that are kind of ethereal. They're hard to find. But once you find them, because you know how to smoke your pipe, you really, there's something about smoking Virginias that just lights me up, man. I don't know. Anyway, the hair standing up on my arms as I'm talking about it. But, and this is a Virginia flake. And it also has apparently some burley in there from Africa, which is kind of interesting. There's a lot of Virginia leaf here from, they say, USA, but also places like Zaire and Zimbabwe. Now, we talked in our pipe capitals of the world. We talk about the whole continent of Africa being, a capital of the world. A lot of today's bright leaf comes from the continent of Africa.
Right.
And so it's not surprising to see this Zaire and Zimbabwe there. Interestingly, though, they also refer to Indian tobacco and from India.
Yeah.
And I'm not super familiar with tobacco that comes from the subcontinent of India. I don't know. I'm just not really versed in that very well.
New area of research unlocked.
Okay, I know, right? Yeah, now I've got some homework, some extra homework to do. But anyway, this is an aromatic flake. It's just a tad moist, but not as moist as like a Gaywith and Hogarth or a Sam Gaywith flake. It's more just a little moist. I think when you pop the tin, you're going to want it maybe just let it breathe a little bit. What I did and worked well for me is I tore apart two flakes and just set them aside and let them air out for not long, maybe 2 minutes. I mean, just not a long time at all before I loaded my pipe. I've gotten to where when I really load flakes in my pipe, I used to like tall, narrow bowls, and I think a lot of Virginia smokers still do, but I've gotten where I like a little wider bowl so I can really kind of shove it in there. Instead of doing this three pinch method, I just kind of pack it in there in a big vein of tobacco, just making sure it's all connected as it goes in until it fills up the whole bowl. It probably doesn't make a lot of sense unless I showed it to you. but anyway, that seems to do well for me nowadays. And after a false light and a full light, this is a really This is a tasty tobacco. It is an aromatic flake. It's not cloying by any stretch of the imagination. It's the natural flavor of the Virginias and Burleys is what you really experience first. And I like that because as a tobacco lover, you're like, oh, well, this is an honest tobacco. This is not something that's trying to, I don't know, but portray itself as something that's fake or, you know, kitschy or anything. I mean, it tastes like tobacco.
Right, right.
But at the same time, you do get these notes of particularly apple and there's a nutty kind of fruit medley essence that goes through there, like pear, which is really nice. It's got a nice acidity to it, which you tend to think of with, you know, some of those Virginia blends that come through the taste of that acidity, but it's not bitey. It doesn't make your tongue just kind of get repulsed from all the difficulty of puffing a tobacco like that. And so I really enjoyed this. It's one of those tobaccos that, you know, this is something that I think I'm getting to the point in my tobacco journey where I kind of feel like the peak stage of someone who appreciates tobacco.
Yeah.
I feel like there's these stages, right?
Sure.
You get into it with aromatics, and then you are like, you get to the point where you like discover non-aromatics, and so you shun aromatics, right?
right. Your cage stage English or something that.
Right. And so you get into it with aromatics, you're like, man, this chocolate covered cherry raspberry blend is awesome. And then someone gives you your first English blend.
Right.
And if you get into it, you're like, oh, that's what tobacco can taste like.
Right.
And so because of that, you poo-poo all the aromatic tobaccos.
Right.
I feel like peak stage, like those memes that show the progression of like stages and you got the guy's brains
pop out and everything.
So like, I think the peak stage is when that person comes back around.
And likes what anything. That, yeah.
And appreciates both.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really believe that.
No,
I'm getting to the point where I really, really believe that.
This is a great precursor to our faith conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. I
would never have expected that in tobacco talk.
But it kind of is. Yeah, well, I never would have expected to listen to my priest's sermon while sitting in front of a slot machine. But anyway, it's interesting. So you've got now, I mean, think of Aaron Moore. Moore is such a good example of this. Like, yep. this is a flake tobacco that has a topping on it, and the topping is subtle and it's delicious, and it lets you appreciate the tobacco and the flavoring that someone has very intentionally and very delicately applied to this tobacco. And praise God, it's done well. And like, this is a tobacco in that vein. Like, you know, the folks that produce this tobacco, Former's Private Flake, like, I think they did a good job here. This is an aromatic flake. It's got enough sweetness to keep it interesting. It keeps you kind of guessing about what flavors you're going to experience around the corner. But the main thrust of it is, oh, it tastes like Virginia with a little Burley, and it's a nice nuanced tobacco. Like, man, that's great.
That's
like,
awesome.
Man, I'm really thankful for that. And so, you know, if you're one of those guys that's in the second stage, like the cage stage.
The cage staging.
You know, like, you're like, oh, you know, like, man, try to turn the corner a little bit. Try to find those.
It's not regression to appreciate like
aromatics. Appreciate a really well done aromatic.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, just food for thought. Okay.
Well, and you know, the cool thing is, I wonder, like, with a tobacco like this, does it fall in that space then where it, you know, it can be accessible to both the new pipe smoker and to the, you know,
and
advanced
pipe
smoker?
I don't know about that part because, number one, it's a flake tobacco.
Sure.
Flakes tend
to be more
difficult for new pipe smokers.
Bail.
Exactly. Right. Like, flake tobacco, I'll go back to cigarettes. Yeah. Right. But, like, you know, but the thing is, with a blend like this, the focus is on the Virginias and the Burley. Like, and so I don't know, unless you appreciate that, and there are Latakia flakes, which if you're more into Latakia blends that you know, have those. But that, and I think the forwardness of those, this would probably not be a starter tobacco. You
so
know what
much
I mean?
Like the imagery of the tin itself, this is for the discerning pipe smoker.
I think so.
Yeah,
in
no,
some
I like
sense.
That.
Yeah. But anyway, I was proud to or happy to smoke this and I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So, good deal. All right. Well there's our tin tobacco. Let's talk about what you got coming up or not coming up, but what you've got coming out of the Country Squire.
Man, we just debuted a tobacco at the Country Squire called Ruins of Windsor.
Ruins of Windsor.
And it's a great name. And this is Quinn Crawford, who works for me at the shop, as we discussed earlier, has done such a good job as he's really dived in and embraced his tobacconist apron.
The Quintern.
The quintessential Quintern. And
even though I think he's the third intern featured on Country Squire Radio. Because you had Tim the intern, then Caleb the intern.
Yeah.
And now Quinn the intern. He should be Tri the intern. The Tri-turn. The Tri-turn.
Anyway.
This isn't working. Bail.
He's listening to this, and he's filling out his resignation letter right now.
Sorry, yeah, Quinn.
He's like, I'm looking for another job. Quinn has gotten really good at what he does. And by the way, if you don't follow him on Instagram, please do. He is at Magnolia Piper on Instagram, and he just curates really interesting content. You can follow him as he's working through his day as a tobacconist and as a retailer at the Country Squire. He puts some stuff on his family about there, but most of his channel on there, I guess page on their profile is based on just pipe tobacco, what he's smoking, pipes he finds interesting. He curates it very, very well. And if you're on Instagram, I would encourage you to follow at Magnolia Piper. But anyway, so what Quinn likes to do is he has kind of had this theme in his last several blends of making an homage to something in Mississippi. We have a very complex state that has an interesting history.
Amen to that. Yeah.
It is just, it's got a beauty. There's a lot of beauty. There's a lot of pain. It's just this crucible of humanness in our state. And I think it's the reason why a state so small has produced so many Pulitzer Prize winning authors and poets and all this kind of stuff, because it's got such an interesting story, good and bad.
Yeah.
And it's created all this fodder for just creativity. It's really, and for some of the people that created the creativity, that was their only outlet to survive.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
It's really interesting. So Quinn has kind of embraced our state in this way. He's from Mississippi, and you know, he has done stuff around the state, kind of these homages to different things. So if you're from Mississippi, you are familiar with I guess you'd call it a tourist attraction. I don't know, but there is a destroyed, it's a plantation that is in the southwest part of our state, and the plantation was called Windsor. And it was destroyed.
Oh, interesting.
It was destroyed by a fire about 20 years after the Civil War.
Pause. Windsor. Isn't that like a Queen of England thing?
You know, actually, Queen Elizabeth, her surname was Windsor.
So I got to tell you.
The House of Windsor.
This is throwing me
which
off.
Which is actually kind of interesting.
Because when you said the ruins of Windsor, she just died. I was like, well, that seems a little in poor taste, but I'm sure there's a great story behind
it. That's actually kind of interesting because it's in no way connected to that.
Okay,
that's
wild.
And literally.
That's wild.
The head of the House of Windsor just died. Yeah, so we've got this tobacco that's coming out.
Yeah.
So you have... That's really interesting. You know, it's fascinating.
You've never put those two things together?
No, uh-uh.
You're kidding me.
And now, like... So, yeah, we made this because the queen died. No.
No, wow.
But having said that, they are ruins. It's this huge, huge behemoth plantation that burned about 20 years after the Civil War. During the Civil War, it's in the oldest part of our state, which is actually the southwest corner of our state. You would think it'd be the opposite, that people would have immigrated from the east. But actually, people came up the Mississippi and founded our state more on the west side.
Gotcha. So like right above the Louisiana border.
Right above that Louisiana border.
Right.
And so that area is the oldest part of our state. And General Grant and his army came right through there as they were kind of reconquering the South. And so that part of our state has a connectivity to both the earliest parts of America, but also the Civil War. It was prolific in slavery. Slaves outnumbered the whites in those counties by like a margin of, you know, 10-1 kind of thing. It's really again, a lot of sad history, a lot of interesting history, but it's very fascinating. And that part of our state, right around Natchez is, really, really interesting. But this plantation, that there are the ruins of the plantation Windsor that are there. And it's these gorgeous columns that kind of ghostly sit in this meadow in the middle of the woods.
Huh.
And everybody is aware of them, but you still have to hunt to find them. They're just kind of on the side of a little dirt road.
Right.
And you kind of go back in this little valley, and there they are. And it's this ghostly ruin that is just there. And so a lot of folks go there, you know, it's a beautiful, even though it's haunting, it's beautiful. Folks go there and get engaged. I mean, there's, you know, people that take family pictures there, and people will go down there and kind of picnic on the lawn and this kind of thing. It's just very interesting. But if you're from our state, you kind of know where this is. And so Quinn made a blend with this name, Ruins of Windsor, and he did a great job. So this is a Virginia Burley Perique. He kind of started this blend, I think, thinking that it would be a Virginia Perique, but the Burley content kind of came out of nowhere as he developed this, and he did a fantastic job. This is a earthy, natural tobacco with a natural sweetness that, again, kind of piques your interest in the tobacco, but doesn't bring you down any kind of distracting trailhead or anything. This is a natural, earthy tobacco that has just the right amount of pepper and zing, and it is really, really tasty. This tobacco, I keep coming back to the word earthy. It's got a really kind of not so much on the grassy side. A lot of Virginia blends we think of more grassy or hay-like, and this has elements of that hay, but it's more this kind of earthy blend, even though it's predominantly black, bright leaf. And just really proud of what he's done here. Makes the room for a Virginia Burley Perique. Makes the room actually smell really nice. It's got like a almost like a baking, like someone's making like a you know, sourdough bread or something. And so
nice.
Just a very nice lingering smell that, you know, a tobacco enthusiast will really appreciate. And it tastes good. There's almost a gingerness that comes through, like a Christmas cookie or something. But it's, again, we're talking about an unflavored tobacco that's just very, very nuanced and powerful. Man. And so anyway, really proud of Quinn. He did a great job. And if you get a chance, try some Ruins of Windsor. It's actually a part of our permanent lineup now, so it'll be on the shelf for good. So
that is wild. I remember seeing the email go out about Ruins of Windsor. I think it was an email. I remember seeing it somewhere. Maybe it was on Instagram or somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe Quinn just told me about it. I can't recall, but I just remember like seeing that and thinking, huh, that seems a little in poor taste.
A little in poor taste.
I mean, like, I was like, but I'm sure there's a story there. And we'll see what it is. And so it's like, oh no, it's this kind of monument of our sins here in Mississippi that's gonna become this beautiful, like, you know, hidden space. It's like, oh, okay.
That makes more sense.
Just a weird time.
maybe you could have waited a year, right?
I just think that's so...
Maybe you could have waited a year.
That is so wild, man.
That's
all
interesting.
Right. Well, man, of course, anything that Quentin puts out, people know that's going to be amazing. In fact, whenever Quentin puts out something new... Quentin.
Quit. Oh, you're just calling
Quentin,
him that.
Quentin, the Quintern.
You're calling him that because you want to.
Okay. Whenever Quinn... I'll put some respect on Quinn's name. Whenever Quinn the Quintern.
That's right. Okay, there you go.
Quentin sounds better. Anyway, Quinn the Quintern. Whenever Quinn puts something out, man, it's joyous. It's like opening a present on Christmas Day. And hopefully, if you were very good this year, your stocking was stuffed with a lot of great corncob fry pipes from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. That's right. They've always got amazing quality corncob pipes. They've got excellent clay pipes. They've got wonderful products, and they are constantly innovating. We love our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, and we greatly appreciate them for sponsoring this show. Head over to corncobpipe.com today to check out some of the amazing deals they've got going on, some amazing pipes. And if you are someone who loves rocking a corncob pipe, be sure to post out a picture of yourself on IG or Twitter or all of these wonderful social platforms to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show. And also follow them back, because you never want to miss what they've got coming down the pipe.
Coming down the pipe.
Coming down the pipe.
Yep.
Ah, man. And good thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week coming in from Daniel P., who says, "Hi guys, I started pipe smoking during the lockdown, purchased a church warden, Gandalf's fault, and some hamster cage tobacco." My goodness. Sorry, Daniel. "Suffice to say, some serious tongue bite and a lot of Country Squire Radio 101s later, my technique and palate has progressed. Thank you so much for the education. I was gifted a Chacombe Atlas Taupe F5 for Christmas by my partner last year. Beautiful pipe with a hydro-dipped coating. Doesn't seem to affect the smoke, but that's another question for another time. I was just wondering if you guys had any experience with stinger inserts, as it came with one, and I immediately removed it and haven't even attempted to try to smoke the pipe with it inside. The question is, should I? Any advice would be greatly received. Love the show and keep up the great content. Kind regards." Again, that is Daniel Pateman, all the way from the UK. Good luck with the pronunciation. And Daniel, just to reiterate, the ruins of Windsor was not in reference to any kind of
to your
geopolitical changes.
That's right.
going on in your neck of the woods.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, interesting. I have never, and this is Daniel's coming from the United Kingdom. Obviously, we're in the States. Chacombs are distributed in both places. I have never seen a Chacombe, a modern Chacombe, which the Atlas that he's referring to is, I've never seen a Chacombe come with a stinger. I've never seen that.
And why don't you go ahead and just kind of put
and so
a stinger.
A stinger is a metal insert that basically goes in where a filter might go, but it's much smaller than a filter. And it is a metal piece that is essentially designed to condense moisture in that area so that your smoke remains dry.
Right.
Okay. I think stingers are rubbish. I really do. And you know that
unnecessary.
That comes from the earliest days of my pipe journey. Not the earliest days, but certainly my earliest professional days of pipe smoking.
When you were serious in the space.
Well, and when I started working at the Squire.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mrs. Reeves, who hired me and you know, passed away. She founded her shop 50 years ago. But you know, she told me, anytime you find metal inside a pipe, throw it out.
Yeah.
Those are her exact words. And that has stuck with me. And as I've smoked pipes with stingers, I've just kind of started to do that. Every time I see it, I just kind of throw the metal out, because I don't think it does any good. And if anything, it collects the moisture in one place and then produces other problems that might be associated with that. Now, that's just me. Okay. But you might find a pipe with the stinger in it and love it. All that to say, stingers are not nearly as common as they used to be. These little metal things that go in the tenon of a pipe, they're just not that common anymore. And so I kind of feel like, you know, every pipe manufacturer kind of had its little gimmick to get around tongue bite and moisture in somewhere in the 20th century. You know, we had the Peterson P-lip, and then we had the Peterson, the little reservoir system, and Savinelli came out with balsa filters. And, you know, we had pipes that, you know, were made of stainless steel, you know, all the different metal pipes that we've seen debuted, and Brigham's got a you know, a wooden tube that the, you know, the smoke, all these are different. I kind of call them gimmicks because I don't know. I mean, some people, they really like them, but for me, I don't think really any of them do much good. But anyway, some people really do swear by them, but the Stinger was part of that whole family of contraptions that are supposed to help people with moisture and therefore reducing tongue bite on the tobacco, you know. So it's a personal preference thing. If you decide that it's worth trying, I think you can. But myself, I've just always kind of gotten rid of that piece. So anyway, I will say Chacon makes gorgeous pipes, and I really like the Atlas that you've got there, that taupe colored Atlas. It's a really beautiful marbled look to it. They've dipped it in this stuff that gives it this almost like a granite countertop look. It's just very interesting. It comes in a series of colors. There's taupe and gray and blue and yellow, and seems like there might be one more, but they're really beautiful pipes. So be sure to check those out. Of course, we love Chacombs at the Squire, and it's one of our best selling brands. So, yep.
There you go. All right. Great question there, Daniel. Thank you so much for that. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire question.
Ow! All right, man. Coffee edition coming in from Gabriel Roper.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We need some coffee to this one.
I know, right? Desperately.
All right. Leaded or unleaded?
Leaded.
Coffee? Well, I don't even know what he's talking about.
Caffeine. I think he's talking about caffeine.
Then, yeah, caffeine, all the way caffeinated.
I mean, I think that's, if you want your coffee leaded or unleaded, I'm assuming, like, if you want normal
gasoline
or caffeine.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
I guess. I mean, that's what I would assume.
Why did it, all right. I have probably had decaf maybe, I could probably count it on one hand as many times as I've had decaf in my adult life, / life.
This is a conversation I don't want to have right now.
Oh my. Okay.
But
shots fired.
I'm going to just briefly say and agree to take the heat on this.
Okay.
That I think there is a place for decaf coffee.
Let's stow that one.
So I don't want to talk about this now.
Next Squire Select coffee edition. We're going to have the,
I'm just going to put that little nugget out there. There is a place for decaf coffee.
And that is the pit of hell.
But obviously it's in Dante's Inferno. Yeah, that's what they listed.
That's the eighth level that they don't talk about.
But obviously, coffee primarily is meant to be a caffeinated drink. That's part of the purpose.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, I prefer and would always choose leaded.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go. Black or cream and sugar?
Neither.
Yeah, I'm not represented here either. What do you
do? I'm a cream guy.
You're cream, but no sugar.
Actually, I don't put sugar in my coffee, but I tend to put a little bit of whole milk or just a little bit of half and half, and that's just to cut the bitterness a little, just a little bit.
I like vanilla almond milk is kind of what I go for.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, it's quite good, especially, but I also don't do sugar. I do honey. I almost never do sugar in coffee.
You put honey in your coffee?
It's fantastic, man.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a good sweetener. Especially if I don't have like the vanilla almond milk and I've just got like, you know, half and half or whatever it may be.
That's crazy.
Then like, but for a little bit of sweetness, always go for the
I never put sugar in my coffee, but I always put just a little bit of cream if it's available.
Agreed. And the only exception is if I'm having like a chocolate cake or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll go pure black. Like if it's like with dessert, but
yeah.
All right. Flavored, roasted, or plain?
So plain coffee. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, again, I do think there's a place for flavored coffee. You got these, you know, different types of flavors that folks experiment with. But yeah, I just like the taste of normal coffee.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of flavoring. And then finally, dark roast or light roast?
Dark roast. I like the boldness of a dark roast. What I've learned is much like a tobacco enjoyer, a lot of people start with milder roasts. They graduate to darker roast, but then the people that really get it come back to the lighter roast because they appreciate the nuance of some of these Ethiopians and more floral, honey-like flavors of those lighter roasts. And so I've seen people make that circuit just like they've made the circuit on the pipe tobacco that we discussed earlier. I'm still in the dark roast camp, though. My wife, who knows more, She's forgotten more about coffee than I'll ever know, but she's a light roast person.
Yeah. Is she still a bean fruit?
No, she of course is a full-time stay-at-home mom now, but gotcha. But yeah, worked as a coffee roaster for years.
So I'm very brand loyal to Bean Fruit. Obviously they were sponsored back in the day.
Yeah, sure.
And I order 4 bags of coffee and I keep them in mason jars, and I've got a little coffee station at my house and everything
You
know, making coffee and everything. But I always get whatever kind of their I guess imported Ethiopian or Colombian or whatever.
Sumatran or something.
Yeah, I get those, and then I also always get one of their I think it's Crimson Stripe or something like that, which is
Crimson Stamp.
That's right.
Yep.
And then their Old Route.
Old Route 4.
That's right.
Yep.
And which is their dark roast. And so when it comes down to it, light or dark, those are predominantly light roasts except for the Old Route. And basically what I do is if I'm waking up in the morning, if I'm having my daily coffee, I go light roast. The only time I really go into the dark roast is if I'm out of light roast or if it's with dessert. I always have dark roast with dessert.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Great questions there.
Yeah,
Gabriel.
I like that.
Yeah. And you exposed John David for being, a decaf supporter.
A heretic. Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
I just said there's a place for it. That's what I said.
And I said it was hell.
I'm willing to stick by those guns, and we'll discuss it later.
That's good.
There might be punches involved.
Your thoughts. Your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. We got some listener feedback in from our boy Mark VV. All right. Here's what Mark had to say. He says, "Hey, gentle hobbits, Marcus here." Oh, that's right. Oh, man. I buried the lead here because I remember reading this the first time when it said, "Hey, gentle hobbits, Marcus here." And I was like, "Who's Marcus?" It's Mark VV.
Of course. Country Squire Radio royalty, man.
Yeah, a long time listener, man. Good friend of the show. "Hey, gentle hobbits, Marcus here. I wanted to relay some positive feedback to you guys regarding the new addition to the CSR lexicon. Father to father and from the library is someone who's been with all y'all, for all the Yankees and Westerners. Sorry, Nina. since the wee early days, I've been through many content adjustments, but largely the show has ultimately remained the same in many respects. For you guys to continue to do this week after week, year after year, is frankly impressive and a testament to the stubbornness of pipe smokers." Amen. "That said, this year's slight reinvention of the show topics has probably netted some positive and negative feedback. But let me be clear, while I do miss the weekly tobacco content on occasion, the net positive of the new series far outweighs the negatives, and you have effectively retuned the pipe smoking podcast into a conversation piece, or rather into something to contemplate. What's more pipe smokery than that? They often evoke thoughts, self-reflection, and fresh perspectives on some things that many of us pipe smoking dads, eventual dads, bachelor codgers, and intellectuals deal with as well. The new content is frankly invaluable and makes me all the more excited for whatever comes the following week. Please keep it up. Anyway, I patiently await the day when the show officially jumps the shark with the Hobbit sauce and tobacco pairing. Until then, all the best. Your friend, as always, Mark VV." Mark VV,
very kind. Thank you, Mark.
Well said with the Hobbit sauce and tobacco pairing. As we have said, we're not going to say the name of that show anymore. We made that declaration several years ago that we would not even reference it. But I will say this. If ever that day comes that you hear us utter those words, it is, in fact, a sign of the end times. And with that, man, I want to encourage folks, if you've got some listener feedback for us, send them into the show. At Country Squire Radio. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow John David at John David Cole, or the shop at _ Country Squire. And all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man. Some tobacco talk.
I had fun talking tobacco this morning.
This was good. We ended up touching on a lot of different subjects in the midst of it.
We did. It was very very circuitous, but we got there. Yeah,
how great. How circuitous?
Yeah,
circuitous.
I can even hardly say that.
Okay. Circuitous. I knight you, circuitous of the large words army. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week. Hey, man.
We better get out of here before we crash this.
Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.